Welcome to Game On with Grace, where we're not just talking cricket wins and losses, we're talking off-field antics, guilty pleasures, and the drive that never quits. Hey everyone, I'm Grace Hayden, and today we're joined by one of the most respected cricketers in the world, a player known not just for his consistency and class, but for the way he leads and carries himself in the biggest moments. Kane Williamson is New Zealand's international cricketer and former captain of the nation, widely regarded as one of the best batsmen of his generation. He's led New Zealand to multiple World Cup finals and captained the team to victory in 2021 ICC World Test Championship. But beyond the accolades, Kane is known for his composure, humility, and sportsmanship. Qualities that have earned him respect across the entire cricketing world. We're going to talk about his journey today and how he's come from being a cricket-obsessed kid to leading on the global stage, how he handles pressure at the highest level, and what keeps him grounded through it all. Game on. Hey, Kane. Welcome to Game On with Grace. So thrilled to have you on. Tell us, where are you and what are you doing right now?
Hey, Grace. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm in Lucknow at the moment here with the Lucknow Super Giants in a support staff role. So a new experience for me, but it's been enjoyable and challenging, but mainly enjoyable and nice to sort of have a little look at the other side.
I'm sure. Is this the first time that you're stepping into the other side?
Yeah, it's my first experience. So actually last year, I didn't play in the IPL either and had a little bit of time with Geo Star, and that was an enjoyable experience. And I suppose just getting to the pointy end of my playing career, it's nice to kind of have, you know, some of these other experiences and have a bit of a taste.
You've really seen it all. I mean, you had 8 seasons, am I correct, with IPL, Sunrisers, Hyderabad, and then you've obviously done your stint with Geo Star, you said, and then now you're in coaching. Are you liking being back in the sort of more intimate cricketing side of IPL, or what? Tell me about that progression.
Yes, I played or aligned with teams in the IPL for 10 years, so 8 years with Hyderabad and then a couple of years with Gujarat, actually, and then a year off and then got invited into the studio, which was enjoyable and different, and learnt a lot there, and then to get the opportunity to sort of be a bit more hands-on in the cricketing space and back with an IPL side was fantastic. And it's just such an amazing competition that, you know, the opportunity to be back involved and on the ground, so to speak, has been fun. And like I say, challenging as well. I mean, it's such a tough tournament. All the teams are so strong. The talent in this country is just incredible.
Insane.
Yeah, it is insane. And so it is nice to see that and how quickly the game keeps evolving almost year on year, where we just see these dramatic changes in the sport. So, yeah, really nice to be here and be a part of it.
I always love to ask people that are involved in the IPL in some way, shape or form, what makes this tournament so special? I mean, there's so many elements for me being lucky enough to be part of it that I just love the excitement that it brings. The energy is like no other sport I've ever experienced before. The way that it, you know, you're able to find new up and coming talent that have just come out of the woodworks from nowhere and then they've become superstars overnight, like a Suryavanshi, for example, just to name one. But I mean, for me, it's so special, but I can't imagine someone like you have played IPL for 10 years, then you've gone into commentary and then now into sort of more the inner workings of a side. But tell me, what is it for you that makes this tournament so special?
I mean, I think just cricket in this country to start with is special. You know, for it to be in an economy of 1.5 billion plus with this, you know, just amazing passion for the sport really sets the tone. And then you have the marquee event, which, you know, nearly sits alongside World Cups from an international cricketing viewpoint. It's a highlight in a lot of people's year and you know, one of the biggest economies in the world. And like I say, the passion for it is amazing. There's almost a Bollywood feel to it. It's huge, and it's high drama, high emotion. There's rivalries. There's all of those things that go into it and make it this 2 months of high sort of octane entertainment. And what you're seeing now, being sort of 18, 19 years into the competition, is just the level of where it's got to, and the standard of cricket that's played, which is now producing some of the best young talent in the world, and they're getting exposed to such a high level of cricket. You mentioned Suryavanshi, 15 years of age, and already dominating, one of the toughest competitions in the world. So it's remarkable, really, and it's pretty scary to see where it's going to keep continuing to go.
No, absolutely, I agree. Hey, before we get into you, we'll just cover all this IPL stuff now, but tell me, who is your, pick of the up-and-coming superstars from this crop of cricketers that have come through this season of the IPL? I know you've got a great cricketing head on you, so give me the inner goss.
It's probably not too inner, but that Suryavanshi is a name that's been mentioned a lot, and he's just incredibly skilled, but has this calmness and freedom to how he plays, a real fearlessness, which is amazing. Perhaps comes with that really young age as well, but he'll keep naturally maturing as a player, and no doubt keep getting better and better, which is to watch that. And also Priyansh plays for Kings 11. The opening batter there, I think, is an incredibly special talent. Does it with such ease. I think boundaries per balls, I think he might be the best in the competition even. So he's definitely one that I've been watching and enjoying watching play. Hard to pinpoint, because really
there's talent, so many, right?
I think where talent meets opportunity is probably the biggest challenge for some of these teams, because it's there, and there's sometimes players that are coming from New Zealand or being a foreign player or staff member, you might not be familiar with some of them so much, and then you'll hear some of the stories from the other players about this player that's sitting on the bench somewhere else, and he's been totally dominating domestic cricket but can't get a go because of the makeup of the team. So I think we're just going to keep seeing these players come through every season.
It's the plethora of talent that India has at the moment that's honestly scary. As an Aussie, I'm sure as you, as a New Zealander, as literally everyone around the world right now, we're going, whatever India is doing, they are doing it so well, because they could have honestly six 11s that they could present to the world and just absolutely nail it. Like, the inner competition between this group just seems so intense right now.
Yeah, I mean, they could have six IPL competitions, and there'd be even more of that, really. But yeah, it's amazing. They're just totally taking advantage of the cricketing structures that they've created, and the IPL's just got so much to so much to do with that. And there's this playing opportunity. What is it? However many teams times 25 in the squad, and 90% of that's basically local talent, and so they just keep coming through, getting exposed to the highest level of cricket, to the best international players around the world, and it's just fast tracking their system. And their biggest challenge is who to pick, not where are they coming from, because the talent's everywhere.
Alrighty, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to head into Human Behind the Hype to hear more about Kane Williamson. All right, well, let's move to the segment called Human Behind the Hype. So pretty much we're going to get to know you beside all the accolades and all your wonderful achievements and get to know the human a little bit more. First up, I'm going to ask you, though, where did cricket start for you? Where did that love bloom?
Yeah, from a young age, my dad played cricket, and so I sort of naturally took a bit of an interest in it, and I was maybe 4 or 5 or something, and then not till I started school at 5 or so, where you started playing a little bit of organized cricket at a young age, and and that's kind of where it started. But always had a real interest in all sports, really, and tried to play as many as I could, and grew up on the back of a school field, so it was kind of quite easy to access amongst all the other kids that were on the edge of the school field. So I was always just playing sport when I could, and cricket just kind of grabbed me a little bit more than the others.
Now, is it right in saying you're one of 5 kids?
Yeah, not so much a kid anymore, but yeah.
Well, but still in your family unit. Mm. But tell me, was it always competitive
growing up? There you go.
Youngest.
The youngest, yeah. Twin brother, actually. So he's the youngest, but we're about pretty similar.
Tell me the dynamic.
Yeah, so yeah, I get asked that a little bit. And so I've got 3 older sisters, and they were all into sport as well, and volleyball. And
yeah.
And then, along came my brother and I. And, we're kind of great mates. And,
aww, and never. Nice.
Yeah, like brothers and mates. But so we weren't always super competitive with each other. Like we had different interests. I mean, it was always sport. We played in a lot of similar teams, similar classes at school. But, I sort of wouldn't describe it as ultra competitive. I just think we were we are, despite being twins, quite different people and different personalities and sort of just great supporters of each other. So, and our sisters, being 5 siblings, basically, the 2 oldest sisters had to look after the 2 youngest brothers from time to time. And so, you had this sort of dynamic going, and mum and dad sort of had to run a taxi service and drop us off to school, just whatever. Events and all these sorts of things. It was pretty mad, yeah.
That mayhem, absolute mayhem. How many kids have you got?
I've got 3. Yeah.
Could you imagine?
So I can't imagine 2 5. More. No, that's honestly, yeah. That'd be a tough flight to the UK.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how my mum did it with us 3 kids, but yeah, honestly, the UK trip for any parent, I'm sure, would just be like banging your head against the wall, especially when everyone's crawling around.
Yeah. You're right.
Tell me about your journey, though. Was it an easy one, would you say, or would you have some ups and downs along the way that you'd like to share? I mean, I know that you debuted the test at, is it 20 years old? What is that correct in saying?
Yeah.
But the journey for you, and when was that moment that you went, I actually want to take my cricketing career seriously, or I've got a shot in this, I'm going to give it a crack?
It's a funny question, that, because when you're younger, I mean, although there's that thing in the back of your mind, and you grow up watching the sport that you love, and that would be players playing international cricket, like watching your dad, and so there's that in the back of your mind, but there's just a real passion for the sport. And so as a youngster, you don't think career, I don't believe that anyway, you're just sort of playing the sport that you love. And I enjoy team sports, so that's a really fun dynamic as well, and meeting people and having different friendships. So yeah, I enjoyed that. I loved the intricate parts of cricket as well, and so that kind of draws you in. It's kind of trying to hit this moving target, this idea of continued sort of improvement, but knowing there's all this stuff you can't control, and so it can get a bit confusing at times. But I really enjoyed that element, and then going through school into my kind of college years, starting to kind of perform at some of that representative level, and then ultimately getting with New Zealand under 19s, getting picked up, and then your domestic team at sort of the age of about 16, and I suppose that's where you start seeing some sort of reality to that dream or idea that you had that, you know, was just growing up watching some of your heroes and things. So, but then again, that's also quite a distraction, you know, and you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. And I'd certainly been there as well. In fact, quite early on, I was selected for New Zealand A, and really it was the first time where, you know, at a younger age, the difference in skill and talent amongst, you know, when you're 12, 13, whatever, in your teens can be quite large. And so your experiences of failure might not be as often. And then you sort of start getting to adult age competing, whether it's for domestic cricket and then getting picked for New Zealand A. And I had a really sort of tough half season, and then went to India actually. And the same thing happened, and I was kind of a little bit caught in the trap of the noise of nearly getting picked for the Black Caps at a really young age, and then also where I was right now, which was sort of holding on to that idea and not really playing with that freedom that you know allows you to play at your best. And it was sort of quite a tough 6 months or a year or so where I was just grappling with it. And then to kind of take that off the table and just try and be in the moment, enjoy playing and not sort of have the carrot attached to it, which, you know, if you do well, it might mean this. It's actually just, how do you stay in the moment so you can enjoy the cricket for what it is? You love the sport, and if you're keeping your attention there, then the things at the end of, you know, the line might happen, but they're out of your control. And so, yeah, it was a little interesting time, and then a nice place to be in. And once if or when that call comes, it's rather than about time, sir. It was a pleasant surprise, you know. And and so, yeah. But I remember that as I felt, there was noise around getting close to representing New Zealand. It was almost the time I needed to take a bit of a step back from that idea and just kind of plug into playing. And yeah,
wanting it so bad, being so close, you can almost touch it, but being so far away mentally. How did you really come to that realization, or how did you work out a process of letting that go and letting it be and just going, nope, I'm focusing purely on this is my job at hand, this is the player that I want to be, instead of having that outside noise?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, at that age, probably without that awareness, it just takes for you to have had enough of the struggle to, like, make it what you think it needs to be. And it's a tricky place to deal in. And that, for me, was, you know, a place of, I had enough, maybe some exhaustion, and thought, you know what, like, how am I feeling at the moment? And really, I'm playing the sport I love, and getting the opportunity to travel and all these things. And actually, I'm taking a lot of stress for it that I don't need to be doing. And cause you're just at you're now at this level where, yeah, like I said, the skill's all there. There's really good bowling, there's really good batting, there's everybody's on a similar sort of talent level. But, then it becomes about all these other things, how you deal with failure, how you bring your attention to what matters and accept, you know, the things that come and go and not sort of hold on to them. And that was sort of the start of that journey, I suppose, which is, I think, really important, you know, all throughout my career and time in the game, because it's not just a young age problem. You know, we go through this throughout our career where you have moments and you question yourself and you get, you know, you might have struggles, you might have successes, and the gap between them can be a real messy place because you sort of want to get back there really quickly, and it's sort of this slow burn, you know, which are some of the challenges in the current day, you know, where everything's getting shorter and people are quite rushed. Whereas growing up with Test cricket, you know, it's a lifestyle, you know, it's applying yourself for a long time. Like, what's the vision? Whereas now it's quickly so much noise, and you know, one performance or one display of potential as a young player means a whole bunch of followers on social media, and that's quite, I think, a distracting thing for young players. All that external kind of, I suppose, noise and motivation versus internal drive and you know, why you love the game and why you want to be perhaps the best you can be, and having that come from inside, you know.
You're so right. I feel social media, it gives, you know, everyone who's a fan, or maybe even, you know, not so much a fan, it could be a, you know, bullier online or a hater, is really the best way that you could say it. They have so much access to you, and it's not even direct. It's just, it's outside noise that we just get served on our feed. And I guess it would be so hard. I can't even imagine. Like, if I've had a bad day on air, I know that I absolutely cop it in the comments section. So I can't imagine the volume that if you've had a bad day out on the field, the amount of noise surrounding that, especially when you're on the big stage, either, you know, performing for your country or in these IPL tournaments or some that are like that, dealing with that pressure, dealing with failure, not just, you know, on a level that, you know, people in the olden days of cricket would deal with. It's now so easily accessible, and people can hide behind a screen.
You're so right. Yeah. It's, and what it constantly feeds someone, you know, and so young players see that, and that's exciting and attractive because, you know, there's a potential opportunity there, but also sometimes you can quickly forget some of your just core reasons and values for wanting to do it in the first place, and it gets sort of quickly derailed, you know, and I'm just a real believer that inner drive and either rediscovering that or certainly remaining in that is key, and these other things come, but if it's just the immediate need for something, that it's really tough to achieve every day, and you end up just dancing for all the people around you rather than, you know, how is it that you would like to do it, and what are the things that you want to commit to every day, and having this deep and a drive to do it for your own reasons. And when I say your own reasons, I don't mean a selfish pursuit, but they very much can be, I love to play for the team. I like to do it for the people around me, you know, and staying in that space, and it's the noise around it now is just so much more. And as a young player growing up in it, I think that's challenging, but on the other side of that coin, there's a huge amount of opportunity as well.
Yep, totally. They do say that behind every great man, there's a greater woman. Tell me the story of you and your wonderful wife, and then now your three kids, and how they've really shaped the man that you are today.
Yeah, I mean, oh gosh, we met 15 years ago, perhaps. And yeah, I mean, oh gosh, we probably don't have time to go through the whole story, but. I was over in England playing county cricket, and then she's English, and so it's a tricky one because I was sort of new into international cricket, and that's a funny dynamic, you know, for any young couple, is that you don't go from just hanging out at cafes, you end up having to travel and you know, if there's something you want to pursue, and so that's what we did, and I mean, fast forward, there's babies and all these other parts to the journey, and you know, which sort of brings me to now and the shift in priorities, because, you know, along that journey, it's such a delicate balance, you know, and I feel incredibly grateful that, like, you know, cricket being my job but also my passion, and being able to, you know, really sort of dive into that every day, and, you know, without judgment, and it's quite a narrow thing, you know, is that you're sort of following this pursuit, and to now then bringing in kids and these things and priorities sort of shifting and the balance having to change, and so yeah, it's been quite the journey, and yeah, really grateful for it, and here now with the stage of career that I'm at, and finding that balance with with the family is the most important thing to me now, despite still loving the game and you know, getting the opportunity to have some of these different experiences like here now in a support staff role whilst still doing a little bit of playing and also that not taking away all my time, which is, you know, the family time. So it's been nice and fortunate to navigate that too, you know, because changes to the season are scary and you do something for so long, but there's been a nice sort of shift to that balance.
Yeah, I want to ask how you've dealt with, you know, stepping away from the game in the same capacity of being a full-time player for your country. Obviously, you're still playing cricket. I'm still heavily involved in the game. But when you do reach that time in retirement and actually letting go of you know, that element of your life, how have you dealt with that? Because there's a lot of people that find it really hard to navigate that massive shift.
Yeah. I mean, I'll let you know, because not quite there. But I mean, yeah, it's tricky, and yeah. It's definitely tricky. Like, I spent a lot of my time and throughout my career, kind of as best I could, trying to be aware of that. You know, the idea of being a bit institutionalized. I mean, you just get professional sport like it's mad, you know, and it's all I've ever really known, and so from even when I was at school and you're contracted and the idea of this just thing you did for fun, now it's a job and then you do it for nearly 20 years. Well, yeah, 20 years. And it's like, and you're sort of aware that there's some trappings there, but you love it. And there's just so many opportunities and it's just an incredible thing to be doing and involved in, to knowing that it does come to an end and not only that actually whilst you're doing it, it doesn't last forever. And I think that's an important reminder that whilst you're doing it, you're aware of that, because I think the challenges at the end can, you know, if you spend a whole bunch of time in it without really sort of knowing that, then I think that some of those challenges are a bit tougher, but it will be tough. You know, have a real passion for it, not just that, but the pursuit of it, which is kind of how I've seen it throughout my career. It's just this real drive to want to get better in the places that I'm in, and whether that's from a team perspective and a captaincy role or as a batsman and all these things. And I think that's probably one of the challenges, is that, you know, the day that you step away from the playing, it's the day that you kind of detach from that, you know, and I hear that actually you don't really, it's hard to get again, you know, but trying to make a bit of peace with that is that, you know, the next steps, they're not about you, and they're not, you know, like you and your journey. It's actually, well, you know, maybe it's about helping others or being involved a bit still with the game, and there might be something to offer and also going through those processes of like, what do you love about the game that isn't just batting and bowling, and some of those leadership roles that I was involved in for a number of years, sort of captaining the team for 8 years, and sort of drawing upon, you know, the other parts that I've loved about being involved in teams and sort of trying to figure out what might be transferable. There's all that, right? And there's also the idea of finishing and just that's okay, and sitting still for a bit and trying to let the idea or identity of it go a little bit, because and see it with a bit of gratitude, like it's been such an amazing thing to have done, and letting go of it at some stage is a big part of that, you know.
Well, it was great to get to know the man behind all the accolades, but it's now time to acknowledge all the moments that he's had in his career. Well, I don't think you have to let go of it too much. I think you've definitely ingrained yourself in the history of the game. That is for sure, all over the world. So it's an amazing, amazing career that you have and, you know, still having. So you should be very, very proud. Right, let's move to your accolades. I'm going to gas you up a little bit here now, but this section is called, you know, Sports Roundtable. So we're just going to discuss everything that you've achieved. Well, not everything, but some of the highlights of your amazing long career that you've managed to have. I want to talk first up, when you took over that captaincy role, talk to me about that time, what it meant for you, and what changed?
I got busier. your time gets taken away. And, you know, it was after Brendan led the team to a really good place. And, you know, he was incredible and really shifting, you know, the direction of the side and putting them on a path and us on a path. And we were quite a young team as well. And, yeah, to take over the captaincy. I sort of remember when it was offered, and I was kind of mindful that I'd captained a number of times when Brendan wasn't there, and I didn't just want to get it because they thought I should have it. You know, it was a sort of thinking, and because I didn't need to have it, it was more, you know, who's the best person? What does the team need? Who's the best person for the job? And then figure that next bit out. What's the name, you know? So I did ask that question, and they said, no, we're still keen for you. Yeah, we want you to do it. And all right. So I saw it more as a duty to the team rather than and trying to just do it to the best of my ability for the right reasons, which is, you know, trying to take the team, either continue on the path, but it keeps changing. The personnel keep changing. The team keeps transitioning. The game changes. So you're trying to do right by the team and you know, you're sort of a bit of a guardian of the environment and wanting to make sure that it stays on track. And so, you know, that part of my life changed, because before that you would play and bat and commit to what the team was doing, and the other 50% of the day you'd go and do whatever else you wanted to, and then that all got busier, and it was, you know, it was media, it was meetings, it was messaging, it was, you know, all the other parts. It was sort of big picture stuff. Yeah, how are we going, and are we on the right path despite what happened yesterday? You know, like, where are we at, and constant sort of gauging of where we're at the moment, whether we're winning or losing. And so, yeah, it became a lot busier. But you know, I sort of reflect on it at the time. It does bring different stresses, a whole heap of challenges. Often the job is dealing with stuff, you know, and people, sometimes the toughest question is, oh, like, you know, do you love captaincy, or do you love, and you think, do you know what's involved in it? Because you can't love everything about it. You know, it's there's some tough things to deal with, and there's the realities of it. This is the idea of it, or a little armband, you know, there's plenty to it. And so, but I look back on it really fondly for the experiences that we had and the lessons that were learned. And you know, to your previous question about life after, you know, and what I've loved doing, and I mean, I don't know what's next for me, but that part of my time in the game is something that I think a lot about.
I'm sure. I mean, I can't even imagine the stress of having to front up after you've lost a huge match, and it's your face and it's your just words after you're feeling all these emotions and having to string a sentence together that's cool, calm and collected. I don't know how you do that in a moment of pure disappointment. Like, I mean, walk me through 2019, that World Cup final that you lost to England. That's definitely a moment, I'm sure, for you where it was difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I think firstly it was just difficult to understand, you know, in terms of how the game was decided, and, you know, just from the really basic viewpoint of having played the game since you're 3 years old or 5 years old or whatever, and you know, winning and losing for 30 years, and then you play in a game that has a little bit more context than the one in the backyard, but has a whole, you know, different feel around how it's decided. And it was all a bit, really, like, having said that, you know, they weren't rules that were made up after the fact. They were there. I didn't totally know until kind of just before the last few balls. It was tough and tough on the team. But you know, it's tricky because that's the event or the moment that's often sort of spoken about, had a lot of drama, and it's an amazing thing. But you know, as a team and as a player, you're sort of quick to forget that actually throughout the 2 months of that competition and perhaps even before, there's moments throughout that have an impact on your fate. And so, like, where we were at as a team and how we played across, you know, that period of time, I think is what was really important, you know, for us. And you get close and you get right to the end, but you can't sort of throw all that other stuff away. And so in terms of like that post sort of feeling, oh gosh, it was tough and it was confusing. And, you know, it was a bit of shock probably as well. But then it was also like, hang on, we as a side, like, we're very clear on who we are and how we want to operate. We know that in any game you go into, there's opportunities for all results, you know. So what is it that we're committing to every day? And did we do that today? And we did. And there was, you know, there's stuff that happens and there's people in rooms that sit down and make decisions. And I don't know where that one came up, but it must have. And they changed it from wickets to runs and all the stuff, right? Even getting the runs wrong with the deflection, like, you know, and so you had this, and yeah, or just in life, you get stuff that doesn't perhaps go your way, and your next opportunity, I think, as a team, is to kind of endure it and let it be a part of you and move forward. And although that, you know, it was tough to get maybe that perspective straight away after the whole, you know, how does this work? Like, you know, well, the confusing part was how does something in a game that has no intention decide it, you know, like more boundaries. It's like, oh, but you don't pick a team based on that. You don't set out for that being the focus. So that was the, you know,
especially in ODI cricket, you'd think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, and since being changed, whatever. But it is what it is. And so for us as a team, that's very much, you know, part of our journey and one that we, like, look back on, honestly, really fondly. And I everybody feels different, but, you know, you're left with, yes, there's disappointment and all this stuff. But you know, would you have rather been a part of it or not, you know? And when everybody is unanimous and that, you know, absolutely, then, you know, you move on and see it in a different way. So it was challenging and it was tough, but also it was an amazing experience and moment for our team as well. And something in that, which I don't know, but in whatever, a few months later, going into the Test Championship final and some little moments going our way in that, you know, and so you just, it's a part of your journey and it's one, yeah, that
it makes you,
honestly, I'm quite comfortable with. Yeah.
And I mean, what achievement to even reach a final in a World Cup up against some of the best players in the world, the best countries in the world. You've made it to that point. So there's all that hard work and achievement to even be there in the first place. And yes, of course, you want to be lifting the trophy at the end of the day, but it's still, you know, all of those achievements to get to that point that, of course, you would be so proud of.
Yeah. But probably more so the fact that, and maybe this is from a captain sort of perspective, but like, it kind of just, you want to win all the little moments, you want to, but from a wider view, it sort of reaffirms where you're at as a group as well, and what it is that you're doing. And so, like, also after that World Cup, I know it was climactic and all this, but the journey wasn't ending. Like, doesn't end the day after, you know? So So it's like, okay, like if we're going to look at it, sorry, the camera's a bit short, but like from a wide view of where we're going as a team and are we on track, all these things, then yes, these are pinnacle moments and focuses in a sort of, you know, 4-year cycle, but it doesn't end. You know, it doesn't end tomorrow. So what is it from this that we move forward with? And but there's definitely a lot of emotion around it, which makes it what it is, you know. And we're involved in that. We play a sport that we love that provides a lot of entertainment to people, and we're involved in, you know, one of the all time great sort of cricketing entertainment matches. So
Yeah, which, I mean, then you went on, if you look at the positive of it and the light of the moment, you went on to win that 2021 World Test Championship, and what an achievement that I'm sure was for you personally, but also as a side.
Yeah. That was great. So we went there, and that had its little nuances too. It was sort of ended up over 6 days and against a really strong side in India. Obviously, and so, yeah, it was. It felt good, you know, and naturally, it brought up memories. There were so many players that played in the World Cup. It wasn't all that long after, but were also involved in the Test Championship. The teams were quite consistent at that stage, and I think all of the players that were involved in both had a really good sort of feeling and sort of reflective moment, and it was great for us as a team.
Now, you've been lucky enough to play alongside some of the greats that the game's produced, but who would you say has had the biggest impact on your game, if any?
I certainly had people I loved watching grow up and play, and and then as you start playing, you know, it's tricky. There's two parts. Hey, there's almost people that you idolize a bit, and then there's people that you see and get to know and end up playing against. And like a lot of them were like Sachin Tendulkar, and loved watching your dad's era play, you know, and well, we've got Justin Langer here, but obviously Matty Hayden and Ponting was someone that I loved watching play, Jacques Callis, these guys. And then you sort of fast forward, and all of a sudden, you know, you're in the backyard and you're writing down your teams as a youngster, and now my debut test match was against India, and I was like, that was a pinch yourself moment. But then playing, you know, definitely under Brendan was amazing. He was an incredible leader and did wonderful things for the team. And also another Hashim Amla is another one who is a close friend, but obviously a legend in the game. But they're a couple of guys that for different ways as well, that I think were and have been and still are mates, but helpful but still really enjoy watching so many others. Virat as well, who's different because we're similar ages and followed similar paths, but there's a unique sort of connection, and although we've competed a lot, you know, over the years, there's a close friendship there too. And
I mean, that's a crazy flex, being like, oh, I'm just good mates with Virat Kohli, no worries.
We played under 19s together, and look, number of mates. In fact, do you know what? Playing this game and getting to, you know, the pointy end, and you think about the things that you've loved, and you come back to cricket's probably third, you know, or but it's more like the people you meet and like the friendships you make, the experiences that you have, and sometimes they're connected. Like you win and you lose, and you think 6 years ago, and you can't really recall all the little moments and really how many you got, or how many wins and losses. Like, it's sometimes you miss a bit of that, but you do remember a lot of the other stuff, which is, you know, even 2019 World Cup, which we've touched on, but as a group and the bonds that were created and some of the moments we had traveling around England on a bus and even the music that we listened to. And so many friendships along the way. And you know, Virat and I have, it's been unique from an under-19s day, even just before that at a similar age, and then, you know, captaining and both teams and competing but a cool bond, but so many other great friendships as well, and players and other teams where on the field, extremely competitive and you know, patriotic with you and your own group. And then outside of it, there's this thing in common that you have, which is your journey. And so that's nice. So yeah, a number of players and lifelong friendships with so many of the groups of players and that I've had in my team that we've shared a lot of those journeys together. So yeah, so a number of, yeah.
Give me for your last interrogation, I'm going to call it, but just a fun off-field moment that you've had in your career. It could be with your teammates, it could be with someone else, but something that really has been something that you've held close to your heart, or you go, oh, that was an absolute crack up. Is there an insider story that you can give us to finish on?
Oh, sort of at least one or two every tour. But if we stay with under, well, 2019 World Cup, we finished our first match against Sri Lanka, and fortunate we won the toss on a green seamer, and ended up bowling them out, and our two opening batters went out, and Martin Guptill and Colin Munro and sort of whacked it, and we ended up finishing the game quite early, and it was about five or six of us that at that stage we didn't have family with us, and so there was an opportunity to kind of do a bit of team time because it was an afternoon game as well, so the day was young and shoot up to London from Cardiff and go to a Mumford and Sons concert, and so we kind of put this plan together, and we ended up brilliant. We'll catch the trains, right? We'll clothes that we've got. The team are going to meet us there the next day, so we'll just go from here to the hotel, straight to the team hotel, and it'll all be well. And we ended up getting on the train, and obviously they were full of Kiwi supporters from the match, and so we ended up, you know, having a sparkling water with all the supporters on our way up to London. Yeah, there's about five or six of us, anyway, so we went up, and I was organising it, and so nobody had much faith in the fact that it would come together, but miraculously it managed to. And anyway, we ended up, we were there at the gig, and these guys, we're all big fans and love the music, and so we had a hell of a time. We bumped into a bunch of the South African players as well, so they had a similar idea. You know, honestly, yeah, it was a wee while ago now, but I mean, we all remember the World Cup for so many different things, but those sorts of moments and opportunities that you get. I mean, the timing was right, you know. It was, we had about five, six, maybe days between, like, it worked well. And you sort of, a say yes moment. And some of those guys that took the plunge and thought, yeah, maybe this would be a good idea, who were a bit nervous, sort of recall it as one of their, like, you know, most enjoyable experiences, just spontaneous. And we had a good time. So it's
valuable. Experience. You've concocted someone's most valuable experience on tour.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's other ones, you know, maybe the final and stuff, but I would put that right up there. Yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of it was great and such an awesome thing to do, you know. You play the sport, you travel the world, and you know, you sometimes get these opportunities when the timing's right, because, you know, it's pretty serious what you do and professional elements and stuff, but it worked out well, and to be able to do that and when the moments are there to really try and, you know, make sure you do have those experiences, because they are the things that you know, you remember, and I know all those, the players, a couple of support staff, you know, recall that as a great moment.
Special, special times all around. Well, thank you so much, Kane, for your time. Really appreciate having you on the episode. It's been an absolute blast getting to know you. Good luck for the rest of the IPL. Hopefully get a few more wins under your belt.
Thank you. Cheers, Grace.
Well, that's all for this episode of Game On with Grace. I hope you loved this conversation with Kane. Thank you so much, Kane, again, for jumping on our episode. Really appreciate your time and what a legacy you are creating and have created. Make sure you hit that follow button and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and share this episode with a friend. We've got so many more legendary guests, hilarious debates, and big stories coming your way. So stay tuned. I'm Grace Hayden, and until next time, keep competitive. We'll be right back.